Hey everyone, welcome back to Sophomore Citizens. I'm Gigi.
I'm Liesl.
And I'm Lily.
All right, so for today's check-in, we are going to jump right in with a true current event, something that has been sweeping the news. CNN is reporting on it, Fox News, of course, and that is the drama with the High School Musical, the musical, the series, teenagers. What are their names? Olivia Rodrigo and
Joshua Bassett. And then another player here, Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes. So Gigi, why don't you start off and give us your general thoughts on this drama?
Sure. Well, do I need to give a rundown of what exactly has occurred?
Why don't you give a little summary?
So basically, Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett are co-stars on High School Musical, the musical, the series. And their characters have this sort of complicated love story, if you will. And their real lives parallel this in that they had this relationship. He wrote some songs about her. They, you know, as we can assume, have broken up. And Olivia Rodrigo then writes this song about, presumably, Joshua Bassett, about getting her driver's license. And supposedly, it's like breaking records, like left and right. It's like supposedly, it has way more streams than like Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, like all these major artists.
I heard single day stream. So it topped Ariana Grande's Thank You Next for Spotify single day streams.
I also heard it's number one on Billboard right now.
And also, well, basically I saw this video that was like, her song has approximately 13 million streams per day. And that like, that's unheard of. And I mean, it does, especially for like an unknown, an essentially unknown artist, like that is pretty unbelievable. And I think my thought is that it's due to the children, it's due to TikTok, and it's due to like the, you know, pop lord vibe that everyone's kind of been into. Like she clearly is drawing from Lord inspiration, in my opinion.
I also want to point out the fact that I feel like there isn't that much other music right now that's popping off. So I feel like there was a vacuum there for her to pop in with this song and for the tween girls to just like take it and run with it. Because, you know, when you're a teen or tween girl, like at least from my experience, I loved listening to music that was like breakup music or like driving in my car past his house. Like that, I'm sorry, that's just like the most teenage girl behavior of all time, is driving by a guy's house and like just so forlorn, just, you know, wanting him, your heart is broken. And like, especially I feel like the emotional like lyrics of the song pair really well with the like pop sad energy. And Gigi, like the Lord energy that you're talking about.
I also think that the replayability on this song is really like on TikTok, all over TikTok. It's like seventh time listening to it on repeat. So like, I think that's also really contributing to the like 13 million streams a day, because people literally have that song playing over and over and over again.
The other thing I also recently learned is the song that was really big on TikTok earlier last year, All I Want Is Love That Lasts.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, that's her. And I didn't realize, but like this isn't even her first like big hit.
Well, I saw a TikTok saying, you know, that trend that's like, I didn't think it would happen twice, but now I have two nickels. Sorry, I totally botched that.
Oh,
yeah,
but
someone was like, I had no idea that 2 years in a row in January, there'd be a song by that Olivia girl trending. There would be a global pandemic with numbers rising. Like, it's literally like we're in a time loop. Like, it feels exactly the same as last year, but anyway.
And so the song pretty clearly references some real life people such as Sabrina Carpenter.
So I saw on TikTok that she had originally posted a piano version of the song. The lyrics said that brunette girl.
Mm.
So initially it was not that blonde girl. It was that brunette girl. And then people think that she changed it to feed into the Joshua Sabrina ship.
That's tea.
Yeah.
Which totally tracks. Yeah. I believe that 1000%, like, especially because the timeline of the whole thing, I'm pretty sure, like, if you really check the receipts, she got her driver's license like a long ass time ago. And so that would mean that that like this song was written a long time ago, which would mean that they were involved a long time ago, which means that Sabrina Carpenter being in the mix would have had to have been like an afterthought of adding it in, like as the song is being released now.
And I heard that they're filming season 2 of High School Musical, the musical, the series, like now. And so people were like, she wouldn't want to like start all of this drama with her coworkers, with her cast, like in the middle of filming. Like, why would she release the song now? And so, of course, now Joshua has released his song, Lie, 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 or Lies, Lies, Lies.
Lie, Lie, Lie.
Lie, Lie, Lie. And I haven't even listened to that. Like, I have. Okay, is it good?
Well, Lily, did you listen to Common Sense by Joshua Bassett?
No.
So that was one of the songs that is supposedly potentially about Olivia Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. And it is such a mean song. He's literally saying like, common sense tells me I shouldn't like her. Common sense says like, we're not meant to be together, but common sense doesn't know her smile. Or like stuff like that, where he's basically saying like, you know, there's all these reasons why I shouldn't like her or I'm not into her, but like, I just am.
Is that like in reference to the fact that she's considerably younger and that like, it's common sense that like, when you're an adult, you're not supposed to have a crush on a child?
I mean, listen, you can listen to the song and maybe there's some element of that, but it literally just sounds like he's bashing on her and then being like, but
he's,
I like her.
He's Joshua bashing?
Yeah, exactly.
Joshua Bachet.
He's Joshua Bachet.
That's his new name. Okay, well, look, I am going to give my stance on this drama because I have become fully enveloped in this scandal. I went from literally not even knowing the name Olivia Rodrigo to feeling like her number one fan overnight. I have started High School Musical, the musical, the series. I have one more episode. I have listened to everything. Literally when the song dropped yesterday at 3 p.m. I watched the music video, which by the way, the music video was so weird. And I don't understand, for anyone who's listening that's watched it, when he is out of the car and the car is moving and his whole body is like balancing. I don't understand how he did that, but okay, that's beyond the point. And I'm feeling like an Olivia Rodrigo stan, and I feel really bad for her in this situation, and I'm not feeling like I ship Sabrina Carpenter and Joshua Bachet.
I don't feel bad for Olivia like at all. Like, even if this song and everything about it is true, that like he broke up with her and now he's dating Sabrina Carpenter, like you're allowed to go date other people, and she got a number one hit song off of this. Like, it's a similar situation to Ariana Grande. Like, I don't feel bad for her that Pete Davidson like broke her heart because she's now like the queen of pop.
Yeah, but this poor girl's and heart also is broken. Like
every 17-year-old their heart's broken. I mean, come on.
But also, you have to consider like the amount of time that has definitely passed since these, you know, wounds were created. Like, I can almost guarantee Olivia is fine and is happy to be making her millions off of this song.
Yeah, and also like, I'm such a Sabrina Carpenter stan. Ever since her movie about dancing came onto Netflix, like, she just, I love her. She's so tiny and cute. I think she's really, she seems like a fun girl. And she's a really cute little dancer. And I just love that movie. I mean, beforehand, like, I literally didn't care about her at all. But I just stan her. I just think she's really cute.
I'm still team Olivia forever.
Okay. I mean, I'm team Olivia and I'm team Sabrina, but okay. I'm just not team Joshua.
To be honest, I don't really care. Like, I mean, I'm invested to a certain extent, but I don't have any kind of sides. I do think it's weird that Joshua would have been dating a 16-year-old when he was 19, 20.
Yeah.
You know, like, that rubs me the wrong way. But other than that, like, I don't really have any super strong feelings.
And Gigi, you're also watching HSM, the SM, the system?
So Carly and I started watching it. Carly is my roommate, if you are not familiar. And we were enjoying it for a second, but then we were kind of like, this is not good. And I was also kind of noting that, like, you know, the fact that in all of the first High School Musical movie, we did not get a kiss from Troy and Gabriella. And within the first 3 minutes of HSM, TSTM, or whatever it is, within the first few minutes, Joshua Bassett is on Olivia Rodrigo's bed and they kiss. Like, are you kidding? And so I was like, you know, trying to identify who exactly their audience is. And Carly had observed that she believes it is meant for like the preteens and the in-betweeners, you know, which to me totally, totally makes sense.
Yeah, I always thought it was for the in-betweeners, but that's also why I probably don't think I'll be watching it. Lily, would you recommend it or no?
It's absolutely terrible, but like, I'm so glad to be watching. Okay. No, I would not recommend, but I'm really happy that I am watching. And if this drama is in fact a publicity stunt, which I'm beginning to think more and more that it is, this is genius because it fully got me to watch the show, and they are doing something right for sure.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that show 1000% owes its life to TikTok. Like, because the only reason that I had ever heard of it was because of that original Olivia song that blew up on TikTok. And now I'm hearing about it again only because of Olivia's TikTok song. So it's definitely interesting, but I don't think I'll be watching, but let's move on to our main topic for today. So that is going to be all about fashion, style, clothing, etc. And we will be starting off with my topic, which is going to be all about predicted 2021 fashion trends. You know, obviously trying to predict fashion trends is a tricky business, especially because thinking about the entire year we have ahead, it's pretty difficult to figure out what will be on trend and what won't. But do you girls have any initial thoughts or ideas of things that you think will be trendy this year?
Well, okay, I don't necessarily have anything off the top of my head that I think will be trendy, but I just have some general thoughts on this topic that I'd like to share. I would say that this is the first year where I feel like I'm seeing everywhere people trying to predict 2021 trends. Like, I'm seeing it all over YouTube, all over TikTok. And I feel like usually the content that I see is like, oh, here are the trends right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, in previous years, I have not seen this amount of content about trying to predict the trends for the entire year. And I feel like part of that comes from, again, TikTok, because there is way more of like hive mind about trends via TikTok. And I know that obviously like trends have always existed and that we have always just kind of like followed what's out there and what, you know, what's hot at the moment. But I feel like we have this new capacity to really hive mind the trends and do these predictions and all this stuff.
Yeah. I feel like trend predicting is a business that I'm definitely not in. Like, I don't even know where I would start with that, because that just feels so tricky. So what I would predict, I don't know. I have nothing immediately in mind.
I've also seen some of this 2021 trend prediction content. So I feel like my brainstorming capabilities would be clouded by what I've already heard about.
I guess the only thing I could say is like, it would be motivated by quarantine and like, maybe like a draw to like comfort and like more casual, but that's about all I can include.
Well, that's an interesting idea, because in one of the trend videos that I was watching, they were kind of predicting the opposite, and they were saying that after the Spanish flu in the 1900s was the Roaring Twenties. So like, people after this like big illness was sweeping the world, then they moved into the complete opposite of like partying and fun and glitter and sequins and like extravagance. And so they were kind of saying like, I think a similar thing is going to happen with 2021, especially like depending on how quickly, you know, the tides turn. But I do think that there will be a big rush towards going out and like, you know, hitting the town and like dressing in an extravagant, fun way again. And I do think that the pendulum has been swinging way more towards the casual side, not even just with the pandemic, but even before that. Mm-hmm. I think that fashion has been getting very, very, very casual. But I think that like, it's almost time for the pendulum to swing back and things to be a little bit more extravagant.
And I also, you know, obviously brown has been a big color recently, and supposedly brown usually comes into fashion during times of economic recession or during times of like, you know, strife in the nation, which obviously this is that. And so it is just interesting that that maps on so clearly because brown is such a huge color right now. And like brown, I can't remember the last time brown was like something people were excited about.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like I remember brown and grays and even like earthy tones being way more fashionable when I was a kid /
2008.
Maybe, yeah, maybe early tween. Mm-hmm. That like browns, grays, neutrals were way more popular than black. And I distinctly remember disliking black. Whereas now I'm like, how do you dislike black? It's such a staple. It goes with everything. Like it's like the main neutral. But now, and like, this was one of the trends that I wrote down was like the death of black, that black is going to sort of go out mm-hmm. and it's going to be all other neutrals like khakis, browns, tans, camel, you know, anything that's not black. So I did think that was quite interesting. How do you girls feel about that?
I do think it's interesting because I feel like khakis, browns, whatever, like that kind of stuff has been, you know, making its way into the mainstream. And especially with like, I feel like it's very Kim Kardashian to be in like browns and has been for a couple of years. So like that's sort of been a thing already. But the idea of black going out or like black not being cool or black not flying, that sounds so weird. I also have no memory. Like, Liesl, I know exactly what you're talking about around, you know, when we were kids, gray, brown, you know, earthy tones, whatever were cool, but I don't remember ever having a dislike for black specifically. So I am curious to see if that does happen because I feel like that I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
My initial thought my initial feeling is fear because I think I'm very dependent on black. So that would really push me to new fashion limits. I also like don't think that, I mean, there's a wide range of brown tones, but like I wouldn't think that that is my most complimentary color right off the bat. So that makes me a little bit nervous. Obviously I need to stay in trend because duh, but that doesn't feel like it speaks to my fashion at the current moment. But I definitely could see that. And Gigi, I think it's so interesting the point you brought up about like recessions and like how that correlates to color and all of that. So this is definitely something I'm interested in learning more about, but I'm kind of uncomfortable with because that feels outside of my comfort zone in the fashion realm.
Yeah. I also am like, I'm towing the line because like I do really love black and I don't want black to completely go away. And I don't think it completely will. And I think that that's something that like is important for us to point out throughout this whole discussion about trends is like, honestly, fuck the trends at the end of the day, like wear what you want to wear what you feel comfortable in and confident in. And like trends come and die so quickly. So like, if you're just chasing the trends, like you're never going to really win. And also I feel like there's a sort of like superiority that comes with people who do trends before they become trends, which is like, to be honest, like, okay, cool. Like you figured out a trend before it was like super popular. But I just feel like it's so like, it can lean on being a little bit elitist to be like braggy about like hopping on a trend before everyone else is wearing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we're trying to stay away from that. But I think it's also fun to try to figure out like what trends are going to be. So I kind of sat down and tried to think of some trends that I think would be coming in. And then I wanted to see like if I would be accurate at all. The first trend, I mean, obviously I feel like these trends are kind of coming from 2020 and like coming into 2021, but I definitely think colorful knitwear will continue to be very popular, like bright green, pink, red, blue, like cardigans, sweaters, patterns, stuff like that. I feel like we've been seeing that a lot and I really like it and I hope it continues. And I think it will because it's a good like winter into spring sort of transition moment.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift's song Cardigan is really going to push the world to continue loving their cardigans.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said, Liesl, that like we can kind of anticipate what we're seeing now or what we were seeing towards the end of 2020 to continue a little bit into this year. But I feel like because trends are on this cycle of spring, summer, fall, winter, we will probably be phasing that out. Or like it'll have its run, but I don't think it's going to be like a 2021 trend necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The other trend that I wrote down, which is pretty obvious, I think that Y2K fashion is back in general, like anything that's 2000s vibes, people are really into right now. But I think it's interesting because I think that when you talk about fashion on like a cyclical level, right, that like things come and go in these, you know, circular sort of patterns, but they never come back in quite the same way that they were before. You know what I mean? So like take bell bottoms. They were popular in the 70s, like huge flares and whatever. And then I feel like that sort of trend came back in the early 2000s, but they were low rise, right? So they were like these low rise wide leg pants were really popular. And now obviously like loose pants, which is another trend, are coming back again, and flares and anything that's like a loose pant, like skinny jeans are like sort of dying right now.
But I'm really, sorry, I just wanted to add about skinny jeans. I don't even, in my opinion, skinny jeans aren't dying. Like skinny jeans are dead. And like, I'm not excited for skinny jeans to come back ever. And like, I know they will. And I know that when the time comes, I'm gonna be like, all right, fuck, like I gotta get my skinny jeans. But like, I literally can't imagine being excited to put skinny jeans on again.
Yeah.
Okay, look, here's how I feel about skinny jeans. As the shortest member of this trio, like flare or like wide leg pants are very difficult for my short legs to rock. Like they just make me look smaller. And I love that style, especially on other people. Like I can respect it. I think it's so flattering. And like, it is something I try very hard to rock, but really struggle with. So I'm honestly excited for when skinny jeans come back, because I do think that is a trend that works on my short legs.
Okay, I have two things to say. First thing, you have those Wild Fox sweatpants, yes, that are flare at the bottom that look great on you. So if you could find a jean or like tailor, you know, different kind of fabric version of that, yes, that silhouette looks great on you.
Thank you.
And I think that for short people, and even for me, when you wear flared or like loose leg pants, it's always good for them to be long, and then it makes your legs look even longer. So I feel like with skinny jeans, like you want them to end like at your ankle, but with flare pants, like you want them to go like almost down to completely the floor, and it just makes your legs look longer.
Well, I feel like, and especially for you, Lily, what I could see is if you had like a wide leg or a straight leg that does kind of similarly hit at the ankle, then you're not like drowning in them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe part of your issue with having shorter legs is that jeans aren't usually made to fit your shorter legs. And so then they wind up being so long that you're kind of swimming in the jeans.
Yes.
And I feel like if you had like, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say culottes, but like, you know, that kind of wide leg that then hits at your ankle, I feel like that wouldn't totally mess you up.
Yeah, yeah. There's a way to do it. And like Liesl said, my Wild Fox pants, like I'm definitely trying to stay on trend, but I will just say like short girl appreciation for like all my other short girls out there. Like it is difficult. So when skinny jeans come back, like I'm here for it. I'm ready.
And the last trend that I kind of had come up with was that like 60s and 70s would be really coming back. I think like the mod sort of vibe is gonna definitely come back. And that's something that like we've seen before and it's come and gone. And I think just like retro styles are kind of always like coming in and out and in and out. And I feel like for a while, there's been a little bit of 80s inspiration. And I think that now, like 2021, we're going to go back 60s more, maybe some 70s inspo.
Which I find that bizarre. Like, I remember learning about how stuff comes back into fashion and thinking that it would follow a much clearer path of like, okay, the 60s will come back in the 80s. And I'm just saying generally, like I'm not saying this is actually true, but I'm just saying the 60s would come back in the 80s, the 70s would come back in the 90s, the 80s would come back in the 2000s, the 90s would come back in the 10s, the 2000s would come back in the 2020s. You know what I mean? Like, and I understand that's not how it works and that's not how it has worked, but that's kind of what where my mind went when I was first kind of learning about this. And even 80s kind of mapped onto it because it felt like we were doing kind of a 70s thing. And then it felt like we were transitioning into 80s. But I agree with what you're saying, Liesl, that like they're just kind of always present and we're always like pulling from the past. And it does not necessarily follow any kind of clear thing. I do feel like hair-wise, people are really doing 70s, 80s. People are going super feathered, like mullet, you know, whatever kind of Farrah Fawcett-ass hair.
Totally, totally. Okay, and so now I have a bunch of trends that I have gotten from a couple different sources. I do want to give credit where credit is due, that I watched Allegra Shaw on YouTube, this girl named Lainey Ozark on YouTube, and this really long video by the Modern Girls, G-U-R-L-Z. Mm. And I also got, I read an article from Harper's Bazaar just to kind of get a little bit more of a mainstream take, and I watched some TikToks. So these are all from various sources that predicted these as 2021 trends. Okay, so the first one is chunky boots.
I love that.
Yeah, I think this is huge. And
like, may I ask, like go-go boots?
Okay, so go-go boots.
Because that's what I've been seeing.
Go-go boots, but also, so chunky boots and go-go boots were separately brought up. Like white boots of any variety kind of has that go-go boot vibe. But the chunky boots that I was talking about are more just like a big chunky clomper platform sort of boot.
When I say go-go, I'm talking about the big platform on the bottom, and then it's like kind of a rounded toe, and then it can go like up high. That's right. What I'm talking about when I say go-go boot.
Okay, but yeah, so that's a trend. But then also like boots that are just chunky, like with the thick like sole kind of vibe.
I mean, yeah, again, I love that. I think white boots, I don't love as much. And like white heels in general, I think can look kind of tacky. Like obviously white sneakers are great, but I think white, like, I don't want to say dress shoes because boots aren't necessarily dress shoes, but like slightly less casual. I don't think I'm here for the white, but I'm absolutely here for the chunky boots. I think go-go boots are fun too. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, I agree, Lily. I don't necessarily love the idea of white boots, period. And it's funny though, because I feel like with trends right now, I might be like, I don't want to go anywhere near white boots. And then it's very possible that it comes into fashion and I am seeing it everywhere. And I'm like, wait, why is that kind of cute? So like, I want to leave space for like, even if right now I'm having like an adverse reaction to some of these trends, like who knows, maybe by the end of 2021, I'll be like, oh, I loved that trend.
Yeah. And going off of the white, apparently long white dresses is going to be a trend, which the video was kind of saying that 70s inspired long white dresses or like cottagecore long white dresses would be popular. And they were basically saying that the long white dress is going to replace the little black dress, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't really see them being worn in the same context, but I'm down for long white dresses. Like, why not?
I'm not down for long white dresses personally.
Okay.
We're going to have another short girl moment. Like, long dresses are very hard for me to pull off because I look like I'm swimming in fabric. So a long white dress, I just like don't really think, like, I don't see us being best friends. Like, maybe we're acquaintances, but like, I'm skeptical.
Okay, Jeech?
In my mind, this is the kind of thing that is really dependent on what the COVID lifestyle looks like throughout this year. Because I agree with you, Liesl, like I don't see long white dress fitting into the same context as little black dress. Like little black dress is to go out or like to be at some sort of event in my mind. Like,
yeah.
Or it's not your everyday, you know, it's not go to the park. It's not like go to the grocery store. And so if it is supposed to function in that way, like, I don't know who's going to be able to wear that and at least until the second half of the year.
Yeah.
But if it's just kind of like a daytime thing, maybe I could see it. Like I'm curious to see how that would actually play out.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's an item that you could style a lot of different ways. Like you could take a t-shirt under like a long white dress and that has a different sort of vibe to just like a long white dress with a bell or something. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of options there. So I'm kind of down for that. The next trend is like vintage shoes, specifically loafers and ballet flats.
I hate flats.
No, listen. I have heard that people, specifically Devin Lee Carlson, who is, you know, among many people, like the trendsetter, she tried to bring back ballet flats a couple of years ago, and no one was ready to bring that back. No one was down. I'm not down. I know you two are not down. Like, I don't see that really coming back in full swing. Like, but vintage shoes, loafers, that I could see. And ballet flats, I'm not convinced.
Ew.
Okay, so the only place that I have like a little bit of an open mind with the ballet flats is if they're not the early 2000s like shape ballet flats where like even your little like toe crack could be showing. Like, I'm thinking ballet flats that are like a little bit like longer in that area. I don't know if I'm explaining this very well, but almost more like a loafer ballet flat hybrid, and some that have like a little Mary Jane strap. That was actually kind of more what the ballet flats looked like in the 60s. So I could see a world where a shoe that is considered like a ballet flat does come back, but it's not the ballet flat that we've known. It's like a different variation.
Yeah. And that I can understand.
Yeah. But I just thought that was such a funny one. This is another funny one that I feel like does make me cringe a little, and I'm a little nervous, is Peter Pan collars coming back.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean like big frilly?
It can mean like, what does big that mean? Frilly, or just the Peter Pan collar is just like a little collar.
That's
just, you know?
Yeah, that's what
that's I mean. Already, the thing is, that's already been back. Like, people have been doing that with like the kind of tennis outfit trend. Like, I've already been seeing a lot of that on TikTok and Pinterest and everywhere. Like, I've been seeing it's the tennis outfit, and it's also like the private school girl outfit of like putting your crew neck over your little skirt and have your collar out. I've been seeing that.
Yeah, that like, is true. That is true. But I think that this is more of like an attached collar to like a dress or to like a shirt, not necessarily like a layering collar.
That's why I was asking about the frilly, because that's kind of where I'm seeing, that's where I'm seeing the like, and I'm also seeing the big white frilly in like the 70s. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That all aligns. Whereas just the other like little collar to me doesn't necessarily fit in that category.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I need to see that. Because what I'm imagining, it's hard for me to, like, I feel like I need to see it in practice before I can decide how I feel about it.
Totally. Okay, next up is statement jewelry, more chunky, colorful, and even childlike jewelry. So I think this is interesting because obviously I feel like dainty, like, barely there jewelry has been, like, it for a while now. You know, after the choker craze of 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. I feel like ever since then, it's been the daintier, the better, you know?
Yes. Yes. But what's so funny is like, I remember as kids, like statement, big, chunky, colorful jewelry was like the coolest shit to have.
Yeah. You wanted like the biggest beads that are like bright orange.
And I literally don't know what was happening in our child brains
that we were like,
I even have, and I still have it to this day, so maybe it'll come in handy when this trend comes in, of like a long chain with a little like plastic green apple with a bedazzled leaf on it, being like, this is such a cute necklace. Like, oh my God, yes. Like with the way I'm seeing it in my head is like with a tank top that, you know, when you're a kid, you know how they would be like really long, or you'd try and pull the tank top long. Yeah. Like that's what I'm envisioning.
So when you first said like statement chunky jewelry, I am so here for that. I think that's really fun. That's a trend I could see myself getting into. But then when you said childlike, I was like, okay, that feels like it takes like a different turn that I'm less here for and like a little bit afraid of.
I don't know why you're afraid. Like, I think that obviously I think that like beaded, like little bead necklaces or bead bracelets mm-hmm. that are like those childlike, you know, bead bracelets that you would make as a kid. Or like, I just feel like a lot of chunkier beaded jewelry is already trickling into the world. Right.
It is kind of here. That's a fun one.
Yeah. And I think it's a good trend and I'm excited to see how people like interpret it. But yeah, there's definitely some room for error there. Like, I think you can definitely go overboard.
Yeah, I think.
And I mean, as a general idea of like having super colorful, big, chunky, like really extravagant, I'm down for it. Like, let's do it. And if it winds up being like a whole decade thing or like a few years thing or whatever, like, I think that's fun.
Yeah. Okay. So another trend was like hosiery and tights and that kind of stuff, like fishnet tights that have like a pattern on them, funky stuff like that, which I think is interesting because obviously Y2K, like the fashion moment was like to put on your mini skirt and then put leggings under it, which personally I always hated. But then also I feel like it was a big trend for a while there to wear really tall socks, right? Which is kind of 60s vibes, but then people were like reinterpreting it. So it was like a tumbler, like I'm wearing my Converse with like tall socks and like jean shorts vibe. You know what I mean? But I do think that like we're in the need of a new trend as far as like socks, tights, something like that to really pop.
Tights are fun. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I would be intrigued to see how that plays out.
But
yeah.
I don't think I like fishnets. I think I feel differently about that. And like, especially, I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to come back, but like, I remember being younger and like having my hand fishnets.
Oh my
like,
God, Lily.
The colorful ones. Like, I remember I had neon green ones and blue ones. And I really don't think that's going to come back because I don't even think that was a trend. I think that was a kid thing. But like, if that ever comes into style, you will not catch me wearing that ever again.
Yeah. And like specifically in the video that I watched that mentioned this trend, they showed these Gucci like logo, almost fishnet tights that were actually really cool. Like, I can't even describe it. Maybe we can post a picture on our Instagram of this fashion inspiration, but stuff like that. Like, I think it's this new kind of tight, I think, that's going to become
popular. Wait, I'm sorry. It's a fishnet with a logo on it?
It's like a Gucci logo fishnet.
Does it have, is it like fully a hole through the triangle or is there fabric there?
I don't know if there's fabric. It's just like the repeating G's with then the connections.
Right.
I'll show you.
Something for me about that, it's like I would be so much more okay with it if it is that pattern like on the tight rather than like it's your skin.
I'm pretty sure it's your skin.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm less okay with that.
Maybe we'll do a poll on our Instagram and I can post the photo and we can see how people feel about it. Okay. Next up is halters, which I think is a fun trend. I think that's
I'm so here for that.
Yeah. That's something kind of fun and different.
I've been loving halters for quite some time now, not to be like, oh, I've been on that trend. It's just something that I like and I know is flattering for me and I feel comfortable in. So it's just something I've been rocking for a minute. So I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, fringe.
No, I don't like that on myself.
Like a jacket with fringe?
Jacket with fringe, dress with fringe, bag with fringe.
No.
Yeah, I don't really love that. And the other thing about that for me is like, that's so trendy. Like, I don't really ever see myself wanting to wear fringe outside of that trend if it were to be trending.
I know. And like the sample image that they used was Sloane from Ferris Bueller's Day Off in her white fringe jacket, which like, I love that. I love that look. Like, I do really like that. And there is something cool there. But as far as any other applications of fringe, I have yet to see it really pop off for me.
I don't know why it feels tacky to me.
No, it feels tacky. And the other thing is like, you know, I think Liesl, you've brought up a number of times how like trends come back, but they are almost always tweaked or reinterpreted slightly. And that's what makes them fun and that's what keeps them fresh. I feel like Fringe almost always still feels like you're trying to be 70s, 80s. And like that doesn't sit well with me. Like I want it to be a cool, fresh trend, not like, oh, I'm literally trying to look like I'm out of the 80s. Like that's what feels kind of tacky about it to me.
Yeah, totally. Okay, next up is large sunglasses, which I think like, you know, everyone went crazy for the little sunglasses. And I think now we're just slowly but surely working our way out of that. I think like medium sunglasses, slightly bigger sunglasses. And unfortunately, like the 60s, 70s sunglasses are round, which I don't really love.
Personally, I'm really excited for big sunglasses to come back because whether it's like, you know, the 2000s type of glasses or it's 60s, 70s, like, I mean, I enjoyed the small glasses thing that we've been doing, but first of all, they're not that practical. Like they don't really block out the sun. And second of all, like they, you know, they've just had their time. Like I'm ready for the big sunglasses.
Yeah. Okay. Next up is head scarves. So like that, you know, old woman in an old timey movie, like in the convertible with her like head.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm not going to lie. I love that.
Oh, wow. Really? Fun.
I would absolutely love to partake in that. And it feels kind of, okay. It's like, I feel like hair ribbons and like tying things in your hair is sort of on trend right now. And even I was talking to my grandma the other night and I was like, Mimi, I want, like, do you have an old scarf? Like exactly like what you're saying in the movies. That I could use to like tie in my hair. Like I want more of that. Or even like, I feel like I saw more like bandana hair trends recently. So that feels like a natural progression. And I really, really like that one. I'm excited about that.
So personally, like I do think it's cute. And like, I think it looks really cute. Like, you know, from the actual 60s. And when I see other people do it, I am like, okay, yeah, that's cute. But that is another one where I'm a little bit like, we're like just kind of ripping from the 60s and it feels a little weird. I wish that I could explain it better, but I'm just like, when we're ripping from decades of the past, it can feel again, like playing dress up or like tacky in some ways.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, you would be hard pressed to find me actually tie the knot under my chin as they did. Like, I feel like you really have to have like the most glorious face to like put on that headscarf and tie it right under here. And like, I just feel like a little egg hatching or something. Well,
and I feel like it's the kind of thing I could see like taking a photo or like seeing photos of other people, but like, I don't know if I'm going to be walking down the street or driving in my car, seeing people doing this.
Yeah. And like, this is a trend that like has been on the Gucci runways for years now. So like,
and in the Gucci photo shoots, like literally when people make fun of it, it's like mega sunglasses with the head wrap and like 5 million colorful layers.
Yeah. But at the same time, I do kind of like the idea of like walking around and seeing someone like rocking that. Like I do think that's kind of fun. And Lily, I agree with you. Like any hair accessory that exists, like I'm all for. I love ribbons, bows, scarves, bandanas, like any of that stuff. Clips, I'm into all of that. Okay, next up is sequins, sparkles, embellishments in general, specifically sparkly pants. Like these colorful, maybe flared sparkly pants are going to be a big thing.
So I'm actually a fan of Lainey Ozark. I watch a lot of her videos on YouTube. So I've seen her talk about this trend and I've seen the pants that she has. And I do think they're fun. And I do think that like, if you really luck out and get some cool shiny pants, then like more power to you. But I don't know if I necessarily see it being like a huge trend for me personally. And it's definitely the kind of thing where like, if fast fashion brands start to churn out shiny pants, like I don't see myself going to fast fashion just to be on that trend.
Yeah. And I think like for me, I could see myself going out with some sparkly pants potentially. But like, I'm not going to wear those to like the coffee shop or like day to day, you know, it's not that casual.
I could see myself hopping on this trend because, like, I love sparkles and that's so fun. But the reason I would be a little bit afraid, and the thing I have to say about it, is that, like, this is one where it is so easy, I feel like, to miss the mark and do it wrong. Like, I feel like margin of error, like, we're like, you so quickly could be, I don't, it just feels like I can imagine so many people just not doing a good job with this one. So I feel like execution on this, like, you need to be mindful.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I could keep going forever, but I think we can start to wrap this up and we can just talk a little bit about patterns that are going to potentially be trendy and then we can move along. Okay, so one big thing is mixing patterns. I feel like this is, like, always been a trendy thing to do. And maybe not always, but I do think that, like, when you mix patterns within the same color scheme or within complementary color schemes, I always think that that looks cool. And if you can pull it off and you're confident with it, like, it always looks good. But I do think, like, that could potentially become even more mainstream in 2021 and people could become more bold with their pattern clashing, which I think would be super fun.
Yeah, this is something that I feel like I am already seeing. And I feel like, if I may share a pattern that I feel like I've seen become quite big, and I feel like it will continue at least for maybe like the first portion of 2020, is checkered.
Yeah.
And like different colored checkered, like more psychedelic, funky checkered. Like, I just feel like I'm seeing that everywhere.
Yeah, totally. I had checkered, plaid, gingham. I feel like these are patterns that, like, come in like every other year. Like, yeah. I feel like they're popular, like, a lot, very often.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I do think, like, if you're into houndstooth, check, gingham, like, to be honest, I think that these are things that will be fashionable pretty regularly. So if you want to invest in pieces that have that, like, I don't think that's a trend that's really going to ever be like, ew, you know, you're wearing check. And I think that, like you're saying, Gigi, like, checkered is a good pattern to mix with another pattern because it's almost a solid, you know, like, it's, like, stripes, checks, plaid, like, these are things that are easy to mix with other more daring patterns, in my opinion.
I do like all of those patterns. A pattern that I really don't like, which I don't think this is in trend or, like, coming, but I hate chevron. Like, I think,
oh, I completely agree, Lily. I remember really liking chevron in 2008. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa, this is, like, next level pattern. But now
I'm sure that I sported it and loved it, but now I really hope that never comes back. And in terms of pattern mixing, if that is super on trend and I get into that, I don't think you'll ever catch me doing chevron with anything else. But, like, checkered and other associated checkered things, I love.
Totally. Okay. The other pattern that I thought this was quite interesting was paisley. So paisley is not a pattern that I have seen very often, but it is very 60s. And I think that it could have a moment. And specifically, I was seeing some more muted, subtle paisleys that kind of from afar just look like a random floral. But when you get closer, it's more of a paisley pattern. So I do think there could be a time and a place for paisley.
I like
that. Yeah. I see paisley as very 70s. I don't know if I'm wrong in that, but, like, the way I see it is more with, like, 70s colors of, like, a brown and a maroon and a beige paisley as being kind of 70s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think 60s was more, like, colorful paisley, and then it could also be a more earthy paisley, and I think both of those will be cool. And the last pattern that's going to be blowing up, apparently, is florals, which obviously florals for spring, groundbreaking. But these are going to be more of like a mod floral. So like a repeating flower pattern that looks more like a cartoon cutout, like sort of flower, as opposed to like more realistic florally, girly, you know, that kind of vibe, more like a mod floral.
Again, I feel like this is like florals are literally always in, like, in some way.
Yeah. But I think that like a more mod take on and like a repeating floral or like black and white kind of floral, that sort of thing, I could see that kind of being a different take because obviously florals are always in, but they're always evolving like every other trend. Okay, so that was my trend wrap up. I'm really excited to see all of these different fashion trends play out throughout this year. And I hope that there's some things that like come out and really surprise us, because I swear, like, if it's just like Gap hoodies and like checkerboard Vans, you know, for this year, like, I'm going to just be really disappointed. All right, now moving on to our next topic. Lily, what do you have?
All right, so my topic related to fashion is all about athleisure. And this is something that I got to thinking about a lot when I was studying abroad, because I think that Europe has kind of a reputation for like much more formal wear and like much less, oh, I'm gonna go out in my leggings and sweatshirt. And I remember like packing and people telling me like, oh, you cannot go to class in a, I don't know, athletic outfit, like no one would ever do that in Spain or whatever, and being really intimidated by it, because I do think that I rely on functional, comfortable clothing quite a bit. And it really got me to thinking about athleisure and things of that sort, because I do think that that is trending at the moment, and I don't think that it's dying off anytime soon. So it's just, I think it's an interesting conversation to have of like how you strike the balance between athleisure and formal, how you incorporate functionality and casual clothing into your wardrobe, etc. So that's why I really wanted to talk about this, and would love to open the floor to anyone who has any initial thoughts on athleisure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I already kind of shared a little bit about how I feel like athleisure, at least in the way that it is so prevalent right now, I'm kind of ready for it to wane a little bit and people to dress up a little bit more in general. Like, I do feel like, especially in LA, athleisure, very casual wear is extremely, extremely common. But I do think like it is fun to go to the other side of that and like put effort in. And as I've mentioned, also one of my New Year's resolutions is to put more effort into my clothing, feel more like I'm trying to like, you know, be fashionable. And I do think that there's more fashionable ways to do athleisure and less fashionable ways. But I think that like when we prioritize like comfort and function over everything else, I just think it gets boring after a certain amount of time. So I'm hoping that like the world and myself can strike a better balance of athleisure versus like fun wear. Because like usually, like let's say you're in college and the year is not 2020, like it's a normal year. Like, sure, you probably wear sweatpants and like a hoodie to class, but then you're going out that night and you could wear something fancy and fun and like, you know, dress up and have a good time. Right now, it's like we just wear sweatpants all the time and we don't go anywhere or do anything. So that's just, it's just loses its fun, you know?
Yeah. I also feel like, as much as we have athleisure where it is trying to be like cute and trendy to a certain extent, like that is not the epitome of being cute and trendy. Like that's just people's way of like working around trying to be comfortable and functional, because obviously everyone wants to be comfortable and functional, but like still wants to incorporate some element of like feeling cute and feeling like, oh, I've put on an outfit, you know? But I can agree, Liesl, that like I am kind of ready for people to get a little more excited and experimental about what they want to wear outside of athleisure. And like, I would almost go as far as to say in California/LA, like the default is like athleisure. I feel like it's rare that you see someone walking down the street, like really dressed to the nines. And I mean, like, I love that. I'm definitely a California girl at heart, but I can agree with what you're saying, Liesl, that like with this situation that we're in, where we are literally wearing comfortable clothing 24/7, it's kind of like, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
The role that I feel like it takes in my life in that way is that when I wear sweatpants or leggings and a hoodie or whatever all day, like I think it's very reflective. And like, this is nothing new, on how I'm feeling on the inside and just like my general like productivity to a degree. So I feel like there is value beyond just your clothing of like getting a little more dressed up, and I'm not saying like put on like heels and a formal dress, but like somewhere in between athleisure and like full formality that is reflective on the other things happening in your life. But I will just say that my true beef with athleisure is people who mix it with formal clothing. Like, for example, we've talked about this on the podcast many times, and Gigi, I'm not trying to steal your spotlight, but people who wear running shoes with a normal outfit, please don't. Like, just let's stay away from that. Or like people who, I don't know, if you're going to wear like a totally normal outfit, but like with very casual one item that like maybe is like workout clothes, like that kind of bothers me. Like, I would rather one or the other.
Wait, I'm a little confused. You're talking about like athletic shoes as a fashion statement with other regular clothing, or you're talking about like wearing running shoes with like sweatpants?
No, I'm talking about, I don't think people are doing it as a fashion statement, but wearing the first thing you said, wearing running shoes with a normal outfit.
But as a fashion statement or as like a,
as like an I don't care.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they don't care. Like, then we can't work with them.
They're a lost cause already. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of agree with what you're saying, Lily, that like my personal mentality is like, either let's like put on an outfit, let's look cute, let's do the thing, or like I'm wearing like leggings and a shirt or like sweatpants or whatever. Like, I get this idea of like there's two modes, like, because I do think like here's something I don't like, which is the opposite of what you just said, which is stilettos with a hoodie set.
Like, yeah, a sweatpants set
with heels.
That's like horrid.
People do that. But people totally do that. That's what I don't like.
I agree with you. And when I say mixing, like I use the example of like running shoes with a formal outfit. So it goes both ways. Like,
I just don't, Lily.
I just don't know what you're talking about. If it's not like, there are people who try and be like fashionable to do that. Like, and like, I've never seen. Did I break up?
No. The dad shoe trend, like the dad sneaker, clumpy sneaker, Balenciaga trash. Like that's a fashion statement.
Not even just that. Like, there's also the look of doing like, you know, a trouser and a long blazer and like, you know, kind of just regular like athletic shoes. And I'm not saying I like that, but like people do it as a fashion statement.
Okay, let me give them, this is something I think everyone has seen. You wear like, I don't know, a nice top of some sort, like a blouse of some sort and like a blazer. And then you wear a normal shoe, so like something trendy. And then you're wearing leggings. Like, why are you not wearing pants that match the vibe?
Well, Lily, because people, like, there are some people on this earth that think that leggings are like regular pants.
And
like,
this is the beef I have with
athleisure. But Lily, like, okay, not to throw shade here, but have you not worn leggings as pants before, like to a party?
Yes. In high school, which I think we've also talked about this on the podcast. I'm willing to admit that, but I'm also like able to reflect and tell you of like what I see for the future and what we're talking about clothing. I think my true beef with athleisure lies in the mixing. Like, I just think that's a tricky business that it's sort of like trend predicting. I don't know that I can get into, and I think it's kind of scary, but I can respect athleisure for the functionality and comfort that it provides on its own. But when you like bring it in and like have it meet formal clothing, I think it gets weird.
What I don't like about athleisure, or like the version of athleisure that rubs me the wrong way, is when you're not gonna work out, or it's not the clothing that you would wear to work out, but it's the clothing that you're putting on just to live your life. Like that, I don't, well, to be honest, like, I don't really, like, again, if you're in the category of I don't care, then like, that's totally fine. Like, you can wear whatever you want in the category of I don't care, but it's the, like, I just purchased this set from Lululemon that I'm now going to wear all the time for my whole life. Like that, I don't understand. Cause for me, I'm like, okay, if you want to wear a cute outfit for your workout and like, you also want to be able to go to the grocery store in it and like do whatever else, fine by me. But if that's the outfit that you put on in the morning just to live your life, that I don't feel like I like, because as we've talked about, I would prefer like put your outfit on for the day and do your fashion thing if you want to do the fashion thing, you know?
Yeah.
And again, if you want to do the functionality, if you want to do like that, I totally get it. No shade there. But if the point is to be fashionable and then what you go for is your athleisure, that I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, I think that there's a lot of like Instagram influencers who like literally just open up their closet and see like 90 different colored, you know, Lululemon, like athleisure suits. And they just put on their different athleisure suits and don't work out in them. Gigi, I totally understand what you mean. And like, I just think that like, to be honest, like Instagram influencers, I think are like killing everything good in the world, you know, like they're not cool. They're not trendy. They're not showing us like the cool, fun trends. They're literally just wearing like athleisure suits and making everyone like, and like puffy jackets. And like, I don't know, like, they're just so blah, these specific sort of influencer type people. And I think that like, when I think about fashion, they're like the lowest on the totem pole because they are trying and they are putting in the least amount of effort and just looking boring at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to wear a cute suit to like workout suit to work out in, like, that's amazing. That's great. Or if you just like actually don't give a fuck, that's great. But I think there's a lot of those thirsty women at Alfred Coffee, like, you know, trying to show off their whatever while they're sipping their iced matcha latte. And I don't like them. Okay. So I think we covered that. Gigi, do you want to talk about your topic?
Sure. So what comes to mind for me when we are on this topic of fashion is the idea of fashion as a form of self-expression. And obviously this is something that we have just like adopted as second nature to a certain extent. Like, you sort of form a sense of fashion and a sense of self through your fashion as you get older. And of course, you know, it can always change and it can be ever flowing, if you will.
Yeah.
But I feel like at a certain point in time, you kind of make a decision about who you want to be through your clothing and what you want to communicate to the world about yourself through your clothing. And on the flip side to that, we oftentimes use clothing of other people to assess who we think they are. So we use it on both ends to try and communicate something to each other about, you know, how we move through the world and what we like and our other preferences, because oftentimes we associate certain fashion sense with other characteristics or traits or interests of that person. So I wanted for us to talk about just our general thoughts on, like, you know, how much we feel like our clothing represents us and our sense of self, and also how much we feel like we can actually assess who a person is through their clothing.
Yeah, I think that like clothing, like you're saying, Gigi, is sort of the ultimate shorthand. And I remember like having a very strong stance on this, specifically in high school, and just like thinking that, you know, everyone is putting something on. If you really don't care about what you're wearing, you would wear a potato sack. You would wear a white t-shirt and black pants every single day for the rest of your life. And those people do exist, but like pretty much everyone else is saying something about something with what they're, you know, wearing.
What? But also, like, even if you put a sack on or even if you wear a white shirt and jeans every single day, that's still communicating something. Like,
yeah.
even, you know, with the most bare minimum, you're still saying something.
Yeah, totally. So I think that it's definitely it can be a very strong shorthand for who someone is.
Something else I would like to add, just thinking again about athleisure, like, I don't feel the most myself when I'm wearing athletic clothes. Yeah. And that's not to say that I can't feel cute in my athletic clothes. So I feel like I don't necessarily feel 100% myself in athletic clothing. That's not to say that I don't feel comfortable or like myself when I'm wearing athletic clothing to work out, but it's more so just that, like, if someone were to meet me for the first time and they happen to see me in athletic clothes, I feel like they would get a different you know, perception of who I am as a person, or at least I would like to think that if they met me wearing what I think of as my clothes, they would have a different idea of who I am.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's the thing. It's like, obviously you can't judge someone based on what they're wearing. Like that would be, you know, very unfair, but at the same time, it's like, we can't like walk around with our eyes closed, you know? So, and I think I've always taken the stance that like judgment, you know, and perception is a natural phenomenon. Like it's hard to stop yourself from having a judgment when you see something, but it's what you do after that, you know, and how you act and respond after that. And I know that like, even I think some of my friends who I've had throughout my life, like their sense of style didn't necessarily align with mine, or I wasn't like, oh, that person dresses like exactly how I like, and I like their style. Like I've had so many friends who I can think of who I'm like, their style was like not my vibe. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like a reflection of their personality. So I think that like on the judging others or like perceiving others end of the spectrum, like you just have to take everything with a grain of salt, and understand that like, obviously everyone is kind of judging everyone and looking at everyone. And so from my perspective, like I do really like to try my best to convey, something about myself with the clothing that I choose to wear and purchase. And like, I think that like, for me, fashion is a sense, is a huge part of like self-expression and just identity. And it's like the best way to immediately portray that to someone.
But I feel like, and I appreciate all that you've shared, Liesl. And I feel like when I ask this question, when I talk about assessing who we think they are, I don't mean to say like we put a value judgment on people of like, oh, I like them or I don't like them or they're cool or they're not. But more so like if I see someone wearing all black and black eyeliner and have their hair in swoopy, it's kind of like, okay, I can assess that you probably have emo tendencies. Like you probably like emo music. You probably feel emo. You probably have your emo friends, you know, like that's what I mean when I'm talking about assess, you know?
Yeah.
But like that of course doesn't necessarily translate into like who they are as a person, you know, like how nice of a person you are or how funny you are. It, no matter what you're wearing, can't really come through. I'm talking more about like how much we feel like we can assess someone's, maybe their lifestyle or like what kind of music they might like or what they like to do for fun or who they'd be friends with. You know what I mean? And I understand like these are things that we do naturally. And it's not, again, not to place a judgment of like, oh, I think your outfit's ugly. But like we, as you're saying, Liesl, we use it as a shortcut to try and, you know, fill in the blanks of who we think this person is.
I honestly don't feel, I can't tell you exactly why, but this is just what immediately came to mind, that my like most bold sense of self-expression is through my fashion, or that I feel like the clothing I wear and the way that I present myself in a fashionable sense is directly related or accurate or like exactly how I would want people to see me. Again, I don't know exactly why I say that. That's just sort of what comes to mind. But I do feel like it is something I rely on for other people, but in a sense that not in a value judgment sort of way, and in a way that like very rarely hurts a person, but more commonly helps them. So like if I were to think of like myself at a bar, let's say, and I don't know a lot of people, if someone was wearing a really ugly outfit, or like, I shouldn't say ugly, but like not my style at all, that I personally really didn't vibe with, I didn't like, I don't think I would think twice about it. Like, I don't think the thought would cross my mind of like, her shirt is something I would never wear. Versus if I saw someone wearing like such a cool outfit, like even if it wasn't my style, it's actually happened the other day. I saw this girl on the street like wearing what I thought was the coolest outfit. And in my head, I was like, that girl is so cool. I want to be her friend. Like that was my thought. But had she been wearing like the wackest outfit, like probably the woman standing next to her that I didn't notice, there would be no harm in that. And it's only like a, like it's a leg up, and it's also like something to connect over. So I think that it's not a way of like presenting yourself in like positively or negatively, but that it's like, I don't know. I feel like I just kind of talked in circles for a second, but I do think that it's something that like, I don't want to say helps because that feels like the wrong word, but like does sort of elevate you, but can't hurt you.
I think that that's a good observation, Lily. And I think like, Gigi, going back a little bit to what you were talking about like the stereotype of someone who wears all black and eyeliner and got their swoosh going on. I feel like the thing is like, I want to say something like 90% of people that you see, their clothing says almost nothing, you know, like their clothing in any given day is pretty much just like, doesn't really cue anything about their personality or, you know, give you kind of a heads up about who they are. But I think that there is that 10% who like, they are signaling something with their fashion, whether that's that they're into like emo stuff or that they're into anime or that they're into whatever they're into. I don't know. And I think that also like, you know, as much as there's trends on the greater scale of, you know, what everyone likes, what everyone in America likes, what everyone in the world likes, like there's also trends within friend groups and trends within colleges. Like I genuinely do think that like different colleges, different schools will have different trends. And then it becomes a shorthand for like, you know, what clique are you in? What friend group are you in? Like, what's your vibe within the ecosystem of that school or that place, you know?
I agree completely, especially because like, okay, again, let's use something like Birkenstocks. That isn't, as you're saying, Liesl, that doesn't fit the same feeling as like emo of being like, okay, you're fully like one thing. But I feel like Birkenstocks communicate something to me. You know, like it says to me, you are like kind of earthy, crunchy. Maybe you're like a camp counselor vibe, like, you know, and obviously it depends on the Birkenstock, but you get what I'm saying. Like that, it, that can kind of communicate something. And I feel like when I think of, again, I'm in agreement with you, Liesl, that like the average person isn't going to have like a fashion sense that's completely in alignment with every other aspect of life. But I feel like boys, it's a lot easier to kind of assess some key things about them because there are fewer fashion, there's less variation in boy fashion. So it's like, if I see a boy in like a Vineyard Vines shirt, like khaki shorts, and then like boat shoes or like Sperry's, like, I'm sorry, I know what your vibe is. Like, I know generally what your lifestyle looks like. Not that I know everything, and not that there aren't exceptions to that or people that, or that there can't be people who defy that norm, but like generally I know kind of what your deal is. And I feel like with girls, it's a lot more difficult to assess that kind of stuff because there's so much more variation in the way that girls choose to dress and that it doesn't necessarily align with other aspects of life.
Yeah. But there's definitely also those Lily Pulitzer, you know, pearl necklace, like, you know, vibe kind of girls. And, you know, they go on and date and marry the Vineyard Vines Sperry boys, you know, like they function together, and like that's super cool for them. I'm really happy for them. But
I just also wanted to add that, like, you know how I gave the example earlier that like I don't necessarily feel most myself in my athletic clothes, or like that I feel like if someone were to meet me that they would get like the, you know, correct impression of me or whatever. I do feel like if someone were to run into me or meet me when I'm in like full pajamas with like my slides on and I'm like at Rite Aid with a friend or something, I feel like that's still an accurate representation of me. Like I don't mean to say that only my best outfit ever is like me through and through. And of course there is no one me and true me and whatever, but you get what I'm saying, that like, there are different outfits that I could wear that I can feel myself in and feel it like is an accurate representation or an accurate expression of myself, that, you know, there are multiple.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like for me, I have had so much fun those times that I do push the boundaries of my sense of style and the times that I do try something different and like try to put effort into my outfits and like just be a little bit more out there. And I think like I want to see more people try to like be a little bit more out there every once in a while, you know, like as I said, like with the 90% of people who are dressed in just normal clothes and it doesn't really say anything about them, like I just wish that I could like give people the gift of like a little bravery and boldness to just try something fun, because 9 times out of 10 like people will react to it positively and be like, you look really cool, or I like your outfit, or like, where's that from? Like when you put in just that little bit of extra, like I'm gonna try something different today, like you'll usually like feel so much more confident and free and just have fun with it.
Well, and I do think it's interesting to think about the idea that like when you're doing something out of the norm, you're essentially like saying that I have this idea of what my norm is, like this is who I think I am and this is who other people think I am, and whatever I'm gonna try is outside of that. To me, that it's just so interesting to consider that like that although we might not think of ourselves as like having one identity or having one thing, we know that we ourselves, as well as other people that know us, can identify when something is outside of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, you know, when you're walking down the street and if you're wearing, like, let's just say that I only wore jeans and t-shirts like all the time. And then I wore a long white dress and I was in the 2021 trends. And I'm wearing my long white dress and I'm walking down the street. Like nobody on the street or the strangers that I'm interacting with are going to know. They're going to think like, oh, that's how she just dresses. That's totally normal. But I do think like for a lot of people, they get stuck in certain patterns with fashion. And I know that I've gotten into this too. And then it's like the people you do know, you're scared to like break that, you know?
I also think this goes back to what I said earlier of like, I don't think fashion is something that hurts you easily. Like if you were to make some whack choice to like wear the craziest outfit ever that like objectively looks not great, which like who's to even make that objective decision? Like it's not gonna hurt you. And if anything, someone's gonna be like, you look cool. And like, I admire the confidence it takes to rock that. I mean, I don't think anyone's gonna say that to you, but like, I just think it's something that like can be played up so much more easily than can be played down, and like can be used as a tool way before anything else. So like on the note of like urging people to make cool fashion decisions and like change it up, like the worst that's gonna happen is nothing. Like I really don't see a world, and like from my 21 years of life experience, in which like someone did something crazy with their outfit and like it had a negative effect. Like it's positive or it's nothing.
Yeah.
And it's also like so temporary and changing, which is like such a cool thing about clothing and fashion in general, which maybe sounds kind of dumb to say, and obviously we just had a whole conversation about trends, but like it's all fleeting, which is like such a positive thing in my mind.
Yeah. And I think that we also all like get stuck in our idea of what we think is flattering and what is not flattering. And honestly, I think oftentimes we're really wrong about that, because I think that we have really warped perceptions of what we look like and how we come across. Like, let's just say my feet were like my biggest insecurity, but like nobody else is gonna notice if I wear flip-flops. You know what I mean? Like no one is gonna like think about that at all, and they're not focused on that. So I think that like, in addition to like urging people in general to like try out different fashion trends and try to like push the envelope a little bit, I also think sometimes like prioritizing things being flattering, like take that aside and like try out to like not focus on things being flattering on your body and just focus on like things that you like. But I think that like there's a balance, and I'm not saying like if you prioritize things being flattering, that's a bad thing. Like that's a good thing. Like you want to point out your best features if that's what makes you feel confident. But I think sometimes we get stuck in those patterns and we can break out of them and like not care about them.
I also think it's like what you feel flattered in than like what looks flattering, because well, first of all, it's subjective and whatever, but like whatever you're feeling great in, like this kind of goes back to my point of like walking around in athleisure clothing and maybe not putting as much effort into what you're wearing every day. Like being a reflection on like your productivity or like how you feel and your day and whatever, I think this is directly linked to that of just like putting on things that you feel good in. And like Liesl said earlier, fuck the trends and whatever is so important.
Okay. And I feel like, honestly, maybe we could do another episode about fashion at some point down the line, because I feel like there is more that I would like to talk about, specifically like fast fashion. I know it's something that we could get into. And I feel like there's a bunch of other stuff, but I think that we have had a really lovely long conversation about this, and we can start to wrap this episode up with our recommendations for this episode.
I have two recommendations. They are simultaneously connected and not. They're both related to TikTok. First one is, I saw the TikTok trend of making that trendy breakfast quesadilla where you like do the eggs and then you do the cheese and then you stick the tortilla on. And I was inspired as a breakfast burrito lover. I was like, oh, this is so fun. So I did it. I guess this is also sort of a life update, because I think I'll keep everyone updated on what's going on. It like really did not go well. It did not stick. It tasted really good, but I had to eat it with a fork and a knife. But the so point is to say, I'm going to be working on my breakfast quesadilla skills, and I'll keep everyone updated on how my journey's going.
Okay. Did you like cook it after you assembled it?
Yeah,
okay.
For a while. And it just did not
stick. Do you have a panini together. Press?
Yeah, I do.
Did you use it?
No.
I feel like you should use it.
Okay. I'll tell everyone, but it tasted really, really good. I mean, it didn't look
what
very
did you
good.
Put?
I put eggs, cheese, a tortilla, avocado, salsa, spinach.
Okay, I feel like you're supposed to do four ingredients.
Oh, I didn't do the, not the, not
that's
the
not what you kind. Did?
No, I
no,
did.
No, I could tell, Liesl, that's what I thought she was talking about at first. And then you started saying something about sticking, and I was like, we are not, I knew we were not on the same
yeah,
page.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so you scramble
talking about the
eggs,
oh.
You put them in the pan, then you put the cheese on top of the eggs, and then you put the tortilla, so then the cheese, like, glues the tortilla to the eggs, and then you flip it, and you put all your ingredients, and then you fold.
Okay, yeah, we're on completely different pages.
But I want to try that other one too. So yeah. Point is, my recommendation to people is to make a breakfast quesadilla, because it's so good and there's lots of recipes on TikTok. Then my other recommendation is Hannah Jara on TikTok. She's like really quirky and fun. And personally, I really like her vibe and think she has some really great recipes and like funny videos. And she's certainly an acquired taste. Like I could see someone really not liking her like kind of funny out there personality, but I think she's really fun. And I made her apple, like peanut butter apple dip recipe the other day, and it was really good. So if you're looking for someone new to follow on TikTok, I think you should. I think her TikTok is, it's Han Jar, HannJarr, but her name is Hannah Jara.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you for listening to Sophomore Citizens, the podcast by young people for young people, with new episodes every Monday. So we will see you guys babies then. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, etc., all at Sophomore Citizens. And please be sure to leave a 5-star review.